Hey, podcast. In this very special episode, John and I interview Rachel Ford. And Rachel represents, well, a lot of you. If you're new in the career, she probably represents what your future might look like. You see, Rachel is a hairstylist and the owner of an 8-chair salon. She is also a mother of 5, ranging from college all the way down to toddler. She's a wife. She's a homemaker. You get the picture. This year, Rachel finally had enough. One day, maybe while doing dishes or picking up toys, she decided that something has to give. She needed to make some changes if she was gonna be happy and just sustain a great life. After going down a rabbit hole of self-discovery, she decided she was gonna do something drastic.
So that's when I decided I was going to double my price. I hired a business coach and there was no question about what needed to be done. I had had my hair cut after I had my last baby with a girl that I did not know. I went to have an experience as a customer and she charged me $130 and I was like, great, sounds good. And I told my husband, you know, if she charged me half of that, I wouldn't have let her touch my hair. Like I wanted to give somebody all my money. And so
Rachel, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. One of the things I want to ask you if I can is, because I always find this interesting, how did you become a hairdresser? Why this? What's this career path? How did this happen to you?
How did it happen to me?
Yeah.
I was 16 when I went to hair school. And I actually just came from a family that was colorful. Not a good family situation, like not set up for success. And I didn't want to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a lawyer. And so I just thought, okay, if I can jump in here at 16 and do something when I'm old enough to go to school, I'll have a way to pay for it. Like this is my ticket out. And so that's how I got into the world of hairdressing. Like my aunt suggested I be a hairdresser and I was like totally offended.
Well, here's the funny part. You're still doing it, right?
And I'm like grateful, grateful that I'm not a lawyer.
A lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that'd be not as much fun, I'm sure.
No.
Well, let me ask you this. What the heck? Why are you still doing this?
Yeah. So 20 years later, I love being a hairdresser. Love being a hairdresser. But I think I'm just now learning what it is that I love about being a hairdresser. For most people that I've come across in this industry, it's the hair part. And I think maybe I'm just old enough or done it long enough, or I don't care the right amount to let myself accept that, like, that's not the part that I really love. Mm-hmm. I love people. Mm-hmm. I love being a mom. And so I love being everyone's mom at work too. So these people pay me to like
mom them?
Give them advice. Yeah. And like tell them shit they don't want to hear and they appreciate it, which is better than my kids most of the time. And I get to make them feel good. And
can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do they like it?
Yeah. And they dig it. And they just keep coming back.
For more.
For more.
The funny part is you probably charge more per hour now than a lawyer does.
Totally. Yeah. And but now I'm like, and I should. Whereas before I was so like, what are people going to do and say and think? Mm-hmm. Who does she think she is? That right. sort of thing.
I mean, so, that's the inside voice as well.
Oh, you know? Oh. Imposter syndrome. It's like robbing us all of our good life.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that that's probably a reoccurring theme for many hairdressers, right? People in this business. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? What's why are so many of us for lack of a better way to put it, afflicted with that?
Yeah, I don't know, like growing up with these messages maybe of, you know, you have to work really hard and, you know, don't take up too much space, be nice. And then hearing other people do it, you know, oh, I would never pay that much. Like what's valued is getting a good deal.
Yeah.
And so feeling like the messages are, if you try to take up too much space, if you try to be fully whatever it is, this hairdresser that charges too much, what right. will people say about you? Mm-hmm. And what do people think about you that you think that much of yourself?
Right. You know, you said something up front, which I think kind of feeds into that. You, when your aunt recommended you became a hairdresser, you said, I was insulted.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Right?
Totally. Yes.
I remember when I told my mom I was going to be a hairdresser, she cried. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Just like tears running down her face. I was like, oh.
And, you know, it's interesting. My dad was, you know, same family hairdressers. My dad was, he was a barber for 40 years and a bar owner, but he really desperately tried to talk me out of being a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. I want to set a little context, and I thought he was successful, and mm-hmm. inside somewhere he must have not felt that. I mean, you know,
that's right.
And mm-hmm. it's an interesting thing. I want to set a little context for the, where this conversation is starting and going. Jay Williams gave us a call and mentioned that he knows you through your husband, Brian, who we've had on the podcast before and really yes. enjoyed. Brian owns a large salon that you, I believe, worked in for a long time.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to fast forward a little bit through that story to say you're now you're still married happily, still have a bunch of children. but you have your own salon now, and it's called Gabriel Ryder, yeah. named after two of your children.
That's right.
And when Jay brought this conversation to us, you had just basically you were walking through doubling your prices.
Mm-hmm.
So we reached out yep. to have a conversation about what gives. And before we even got to that, you took me on that call down a little bit of a journey of like this transformation that you've been going through and how you landed on the fact that you were even going to do this anyway.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, what I grabbed from you in that conversation, and I'm just going to like lay some bullet points down. You're yep. a busy stylist, maybe too busy, mm-hmm. a busy salon owner, maybe too busy, like many of them, a yep. busy mom. And at some point, you know, your word's not mine. What gives?
Mm-hmm.
And then you that's started right. to walk down a journey. I think that's a narrative that speaks to so many women in our industry specifically. And right. maybe there's some single dads out there as well that are walking through that. But yep. Take us on that ride, because I was moved when you were sharing your story around that.
And I think it probably, you know, universal, a lot of industries. So I didn't know that I was experiencing burnout. I just thought that I maybe didn't want to own the salon anymore. So I started calling brokers, like, can I get rid of it? Like, do I have to do this? And it turns out you can sell your business if you want to. And so I started walking through that, like, okay, what would that look like? I like getting up and going to work. I like my clients. There are so many things about this job that I'm doing that I enjoy. So what is it that's sort of like robbing me of like wanting to even go any further? And I realized the things that were really sucking my energy were more like, why am I doing everyone's damn dishes in this house? Like, why am I doing all these tasks that I think it's not my husband. I think it's more just societal types of pressures that if I do everything, then I'm amazing, rather than what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And what am I doing that I don't have to do? Mm. And people throw out like, oh, and I'm a parent, because you're supposed to make this, like, this shit's easy. Right. It's fine. I have five kids and I'll be there to wash your hair and just pay me whatever you want. And I'm doing great. Like, it's no big deal. And it is a big deal. It's exhausting stocking the toilet paper and folding the towels. And then you go home and you're doing everyone's dishes and picking up everyone's toys. And then at some point you're like, what am I doing all of this for? Like, I'm not even enjoying any of it.
Right.
And so what I thought was the answer was, maybe I don't want to own this place anymore. Well, I certainly have to work anyway. So what am I giving up? And I felt like that's probably how a lot of women get pushed out of the workforce. Like, you get to this breaking point where something has to give. And instead of recognizing that it's everyone's dishes, you think like, oh, I'm just not a good business owner. I'm just not good at this anymore. I'm too tired. And then I got angry. But if you want to do that, you have to battle and take on some of those inner messages, the imposter syndrome and the defining what your value is, and then be willing to walk that out.
So let's start with your journey, right? So you said, I think the thing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, what started you is you got mad, right?
Yeah.
You got angry.
That's a good start.
Yeah. So let's start there. So you wake up one day, and you're like, you know what? I'm ticked off.
Yeah. Fuck this. You're not pushing me out. And if I'm not going to get pushed out, I'm going to have to walk all the way in. And what does that look like?
What does that look like?
And so there wasn't like a lot of visibility, like, okay, I've been doing this for 20 years. And so what? Like, okay, well, why am I charging what I'm charging? And what would I have to charge so that I could get the support that I need? I need to not be doing the dishes. I want to hire a towel service. I might need an assistant. And I mean more like a personal assistant. And so you have clients that, you know, they want every bit of you, but do you want to pay for that? So that's when I decided I was going to double my price. I hired a business coach, and there was no question about what needed to be done. I had had my haircut after I had my last baby with a girl that I did not know. I went to have an experience as a customer, and she charged me $130. And I was like, great, sounds good. And I told my husband, you know, if she charged me half of that, I wouldn't have let her touch my hair. Like, I wanted to give somebody all my money. And so that's what I needed to do. Like, okay, so I'm going to double my price. And
before you go there, because there's a lot in what you just said, you know, and we talk a lot with people about their pricing and price structures. And I'll take it here for just a minute. What you just illustrated in a real short window of time is the fact that there are people, some people out there, I'm one of them. We were talking about this. If I'm going to look at a camera online right now, John's been listening to me ramble about cameras for two freaking years now. And if I'm going to look at a camera and there's one that's $1,000 more expensive,
That's the one I want.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one I want.
Somebody's already figured out which one is for me. They made it the most expensive.
Yeah. Right.
That's the one I want. And it's just simple statistics.
Yeah.
Apparently it's 8% of every marketplace. And in some demographics in the country, it's higher. You know, you're living in Naples, Florida. You know, there's a bunch of millionaires and billionaires around. You're living around DC area, you know, there's a chance there's quite a few that can do that as well. You know, 8% of your market is wired in a way where they want the most expensive thing. And you might be the most talented hairstylist in that area and the busiest. And by the way, you know, we are talking about two very different things about somebody that's new and growing. We're not talking to that person right now. We're talking to the person who's got a 20-year clientele, obviously is an expert and is too busy for their own good.
Yep.
And is still having fake conversations in their brain about what's going to happen if I charge my price. And so even, you know, to kind of stay on John's shoulder for a second, play out a little bit more of that. Like once you had to, people talk all the time about facing your fears, but I mean, it sounds like you went down a rabbit hole and really had to get honest around what the conversation sounded like in your head.
I went down we're talking months of meditating and coaching. Like I was literally describing it as I'm going to set my life on fire, which I'm sure in hindsight, I'm going to look at this and laugh at myself. Like, but that's what it feels like when you have that messaging in your mind and you're imagining having to justify to 200 people why all of a sudden you want twice as much money from them. Ugh. And you're already tired. And so now you're about to get way more tired explaining to people.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yes. And justify. And so how will I walk this out without doing that? And I'll tell you, the end game for me was I didn't have any visibility for somebody else that I could look to and say, oh, this person is charging that. And this is how they work. And they're okay. And so if that doesn't exist, okay, well, maybe somebody else will see me do it and it will give them permission. Like, it's going to be okay.
Right.
Hey, salon owners and hairstylists, I have to jump in here. And yes, this is a commercial, but if this pricing conversation is interesting to you, then I've got something you are not going to want to miss out on. Almost everyone in the salon world struggles with what they or their stylists should be charging. Pricing strategies and pricing structures are one of the hardest things to get right. And if you miss, you could be working really hard and not seeing the benefits. It is a real problem, and if left unchanged, you could cost yourself thousands of dollars every year. This is something that I've been helping more and more salons with lately, but we're almost booked for the rest of 2021. So if you're a stylist or salon owner that needs help creating a pricing system that makes sense for you in your market with your overhead, you're going to want to act now. Between now and November 1st, I'm offering personal one-on-one 6-week coaching to restructure your pricing, but I only have room for 5 clients until 2022. I've been really booked up, but this is something I'm very passionate about helping you with. I promise this offer will sell out fast, as this is a big topic and it's really important. We'll take your current overhead, performance, pricing structure, personal goals, and I'll help you design a plan for you or for your team. The size of the salon doesn't matter. You could be a single chair owner operator or running a multi-million dollar salon. We can structure a pricing structure that works for you, like I said, in your specific market, your specific situation. We'll then launch your new pricing before the end of the year so you can be off to a great start and meet your goals in 2022. We'll have weekly Zoom calls until it's launched. And if it takes longer than 6 weeks, I will work with you until we launch this thing. So the deal is we'll work one-on-one and we will get this thing launched. Now the investment is $1,995 for the start and finish. And like I said, this will sell out before November. If you're interested, go ahead and DM me at 124.go and let me know you're interested in a consultation for restructuring your pricing. I'll get back to you and we'll have a free consultation and we'll decide, hey, is this a fit for you? I promise I will not take a penny of anybody's money unless I can help them restructure their pricing and it's going to make sense for them. You'll also get free access to the Salon Business Blueprint, which is now a $299 value. I'm sorry if you missed out on our $149 pricing, but I told you that was just temporary. So anyway, this is a huge topic. Rachel Ford is just really schooling us on what's possible when you change your mindset, understand what your goals are and your clientele. Now, let's go ahead and get back to the episode.
So in order to be that person, I'll have to walk through it. And so I wanted to change, like, as you just described, there's some different parts of this, the being so busy, like, that's how I was defining my value. That's how this industry and business is sort of structured by how many clients do you have and what are you able to charge, and you're charging for your time. And I mean, 20 years later, you're going to be punished for your good deeds if you can do work a little more quickly because you can't charge for your time anymore.
Rachel,
go ahead.
You said that this journey took you like 6 months?
Through the summer. So I would say 2 to 3 months.
What was the thing that took the most time to make this change for you? What was the thing that kind of maybe hung you up for a little bit?
The email.
Yeah, tell me more.
The mind work of getting to a point where I was starting to recognize when I was explaining how I wanted to work and when I was justifying myself.
So you mean the email that you were going to send your customers?
And then the second part was the email. Yeah. How to set your life on fire. And then press send. Just press send and just let it stand.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah. So I came up with the email. That took probably a month. And
that
I
long.
Told my husband. Oh yeah. Because yeah. I just lamented. And then I finally was like, this, I have to own this as an act of self-love. Mm-hmm. It is okay.
I'm sure you were talking to friends or family about this process when you were going through it. No, not because what I wanted to know is what did the rest of the world think while you were going through this?
But
you
kept
it, do you keep it totally to yourself?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because other people have that same shit in their head. And so they're going to put you're going to trigger it. And then they're going to put that on you, whether they mean to or not. What does your husband think? Doesn't he own a salon? What did he say?
Right.
Oh, don't come at me with that. No. Okay.
It's, so. I can name off, I would never do that, of course, to you, who I know you're listening to this conversation, but
you know who you are.
I could name off. Oh yeah. You know who you are. Four people right now, specifically that we're working through, you know, price adjustments with, who have earned the right. I mean, you know, and when you start to talk about money with these high level people, they quiver. I watch them through my Zoom having conversations and they literally quiver. They get red. They sit back. They cross their arms.
Yep.
And not really knowing that what they're doing is taking taking on 150 people's judgment that aren't even in the room with them.
It's not about you. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
It's not even about you. It's about them.
And so when you started, first of all, I'm curious about the construct of the email. Like, you know, you obviously had to land on some language that made sense for you, for your clientele, for your brand. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. So in the coaching, it helps to know there's like some templates involved. So there was one that it's not hair driven, but helps to keep it simple. So there's three bullet points. These are the changes that I'm making. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm gonna, you know, implement them. And these are the offerings. This is how much money you're gonna pay for them.
Yeah.
And have a great day. And the one suggestion from a coaching call that I got was to have a call to action. And what does that look like? So that I got hung up on that a little bit. So ultimately what I decided to do, the hard part was decided for me. You just double your price. Don't think about it anymore. That's what you're going to do. Okay. So now my haircuts are $170. Okay. Just saying that out loud for a little while to myself was like, well, okay. And then deciding how I was going to work differently. I did not want to justify what I was charging, but for me, I was going to make some changes. And so it just sort of gave the information to my clients. Like, I'm just simply explaining to you what you get for this here money. And what you get is my undivided attention. I'm not going to be interbooking clients anymore. I'm going to take people one at a time. I'm only going to see a certain number of people per day. I changed my color line to a color line that does not have PPD in it. And people, you know, had asked me about that through the years. And I decided to implement a little bit of aromatherapy, and I started making homemade rose water. And so that, you know, it was like a little character piece, like, and I'm, this is a little thing that I'm doing on the side, and I'll be bringing that in, and it feels so good. And there you go. That's all you need to know. And then the call to action for me was, if you wanted to prepay for your appointments through the end of the year, I would honor current pricing. It was a little bit fear-based on my end, because if I decided to work this way and I lost more than half of my people, that would be unfortunate. I would lose a lot of money. And I wanted to also practice this way of working on people that I know. Mm-hmm. And it gave people an alternative. Like, you have a little say here. So starting September 1st, if you don't prepay for your appointments, this is how much you're going to pay. But if this is important to you, then you can commit to so many appointments, schedule them, and pay for them. And then they would get to experience it before they ultimately got to say, I can't afford that. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe see if you want to try.
Well, the interesting thing is, I'm looking at the calendar. Today's August 31st.
Yes.
Oh, tomorrow is the price increase, right?
Yes.
Are you so excited?
I am. So I dropped this bomb a month ago. So that come September 1st, I was all like, some of the wreckage would have cleared. And I mean, just this morning, this woman asked me if she could, when I see you on the 31st, can I schedule my appointments and prepay for them then? Sure, no problem. And when I got to talking to her this morning, she's the president of the Bank of America. She's just a very successful woman. And so it's a little intimidating that she's, you know, she's digging into my mindset and how I got here. And at the end of our conversation, she was like, I don't want to prepay for my appointments. I want to pay your new price. I'm so excited. I'm inspired. And like,
that's amazing.
Those moments I hold on to, because there's been some other ones that are not so fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's, you know, here's something interesting. Is just some quick math. If you're doubling your prices, you could lose half of your customers and still be at the same paycheck.
Sure.
You got it.
So anything less than half of your clients disappearing is a bonus.
Well, right? and even if 60% of them went away, you've got an extra 10% of new
room
people that have never had that. So, you know, basically, I mean, listen, a price adjustment. Here's the thing. If you're raising your haircut price $2 or by two times,
it's still
the same thing in your mind.
Yep.
So
This is it.
Right. It still feels, when I talk to people about, you know, there's a busy person that I'm talking with right now who should not be as busy as she is. And
nice.
Yeah, that was a dig. That was a dig.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was for you.
Oh, and, is she related to you?
Oh no. Oh, yeah. But she feels like family. Okay, she feels like family. Yeah, she is like family to us. And when when we talk about a 15% increase, it's the same. She's walking through the same voices that you're walking through, you know, doubling it. And again, these are. We're talking about people that have earned the right. Mm-hmm. I would love to know what happened. What's this last month been like? So obviously anytime you have a price adjustment, 10%, 5% or 25%, you're always going to have some people ask questions. You know, you're pushing their budget. And I get it. They love coming to you. And so walk us through what happened, because.
I mean, to your point, that's exactly it. Whether it's double or $2, I think that the imposter syndrome, the negative talk, the narrative we have about what people think and say, it happens either way. And you're going to have to justify charging someone $80 for a haircut or $170. Like, you're going to feel that need regardless.
Yeah.
So you may as well just decide how much you think it's worth and ask for it. I've had a response all over the board. I've had women call me that own their own businesses that tell me, like, I'm so proud of you. This has really inspired me. It's made me rethink a lot of things that I'm doing. And then I had situations that I took really personally. Like, I thought I got ghosted. And then this client texted me today and was like, hey, I'm really sorry. My mom was in the hospital. Can I please call you and, you know, prepay for my appointments? So, like, it's daily, this mind trash.
You know, I want to kind of go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, if I can. So bear with me for a minute, Rachel, because I want to get your feedback on this. One of the things that I'm reading a lot about right now on the news, you know, I read a lot of stuff online, is this resignation wave that they're talking about, where people are quitting their jobs, right?
Yep.
They're just quitting and they're doing other things. One of the things that's become real apparent in our company, which is we got 6 salons and a school, is that too many people have worked for too little money for too long a period of time, right?
Amen.
Ooh, you can't pay, we can't pay people $7.75 anymore and expect them to show up at McDonald's, right?
Right. On time, ready to go.
Right. I drive by McDonald's or Burger King or Chick-fil-A, which is really popular here in Atlanta, and I see signs that say $14.50 an hour, $15 an hour, $750 sign-on bonuses for a biscuit, fast food biscuit place, right? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. It gets you thinking, doesn't it?
It gets you, you know, if they're going to pay somebody $15 an hour to serve me a biscuit and a sweet tea through a drive-through window, who am I to talk about a hairdresser who charges, now I'm going to be polite, an average ticket of $50 for a haircut?
Right.
I don't think it's so much resignation culture, for lack of a better phrase to put it. I think people have just had enough, right?
Amen. That's
because the cost of living has continued to creep up. We talk about inflation, but it's more than that. When you still are paying people $7.75 to flip burgers, they're going to quit, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're if you're a hairdresser and you're still charging $50 for your haircut 10 years in. Now,
or 20 years in, right?
If it's your first week, okay. You know, it's your first week, $50 is okay.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's
but 10,
right.
20 years in, I think, I don't know who told us, but we were doing a podcast with somebody and they were surveying the pricing of haircuts. And 10 years ago, the average haircut was $50. I think it was Jay. And then, you know, 10 years later, the average haircut price is $55. You know, over a span of 10 years, it went up $5.
Yeah. That's the national average insanity.
Yeah. And yet we still feel bad about it.
Well, that's the
hard feel bad. You feel bad.
Yeah.
But I think it's because we're looking around at other people.
Right.
And letting that determine what our value is, which I can't imagine a situation in life where that would be super beneficial, but somehow we've landed here and decided it's good enough for us. And so I did the same thing. I started looking around, like, who's charging what for a haircut? And I just can't find anybody that, you know, to me is charging appropriately.
And that's the exact word. Keep going. Sorry.
No, I just, it's you please.
Yeah.
So I think this isn't just, you know, first of all, I'm glad that you're bringing this to our attention, because I think that's really important and something we can share with our community, that, you know, the hairdressers that we all are and we all love.
Yes.
Yet I think it's more than just our industry, right? I think this is getting to be a thing where enough people have said, to your point, I'm a mom. I got X number of kids to take care of. I got to go home and cook dinner, do the laundry, make the bed. By the way, sometime tonight, I've got to place an order with my distributor because I need color for tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to mom them all day. And you're going to do it for $50.
Yeah.
And you're and by the way, I've had women cry in my chair and say insane things to me, like, I just want to be able to retire and spend time with my kids. Honey, I have 5 of them at home. 2 of them require a nanny. 2 of them are of college age. And maybe one day I'd like to retire. So I'm pretty sure I should be the one crying right now.
Right.
you just get to make a decision. And at the end of the day, you know,
right.
Back to the camera story, you know, for me, it's perfume or jeans. Like to me, the most expensive one is the one that I want. And just because you don't value $300 jeans doesn't mean that they don't have that value. You're just not the right customer for these jeans. Mm-hmm. Well, here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this, I mean, what a discussion. We're not going to end this conversation right now, but I feel like I could end this conversation right now. It's such a powerful message. I want to ask a few more questions around you own a salon. It's an 8-chair salon, which I'm going to call an average size salon, if that's okay. Right. It's not huge.
It's not small.
Yeah. You know, in your kind of reassessing the way you want to spend your time, I'm going to guess, I know what it's like actually to run an 8-person salon, and it's almost harder than running a 50-person salon because you really are hands-on. You don't have an HR department. You don't have a marketing department. You don't have John who's going to write all of your systems for you in the middle of the night, right? You know, you're the one going to do that. You decided not to sell your business. How does your time allotment look different as a salon owner?
Oh, I mean, that's the direction that I'm heading. Like, that's what I'm hopeful for. The pressure to fit people in. And just, I think it's good that to make a big jump this way, it kind of lets everybody know and like sets the tone for, I can't fit you in. I'm not going to fit you in. Maybe honoring their appointments a little bit more, not moving them around or canceling. You know, it's an interesting thing when you start to respect your own value and time. Other people tend to fall in. Mm-hmm. And so that feels pretty good and right. And the pressure for me to be able to work in a way that I want to. I want to make rose water and give you a longer head massage. Like those things are important to me.
Up finding people that it's important to you. What's important to you is important to them. You find like-minded people, right?
That's right.
One of the exercises we do with the students at the school is I go around the room and I ask them, what would you spend your last dime on, right? And you got some people that'll spend their last dime in a really nice meal at a really fancy restaurant, right? You got some people that'll spend their last dime on a trip to Greece. I will spend my last dime on another motorcycle because that's my thing, right?
Yep, that's right.
You'll spend your last dime on a nice pair of jeans or a really nice perfume, right? There are people out in the world who will spend their last dime getting their hair done. And it makes them 1,000%. Happy.
That's right.
And they like it. And so let them.
Yeah.
That's right. Like people cry and I'm like, honey, like I'm not holding a gun to your head. Like you just get to make a decision here. My husband, like, I don't know what to tell him. You shouldn't be asking your husband if you have permission to get your hair cut. Like that has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These people, this whole email that I lamented over and meditated and I had my crystals out. Like I'm just really, I'm in it. And these people, the only thing that anybody gave a shit about was that rose water. I'm like, did they see the numbers at the bottom of the page? Like, we're good here?
Yeah.
What's this rose water? I mean, every single person. I'm like, I freaking lamented over this all summer and that's all anybody cares about? Yeah, for the most part.
Tell me if this isn't true. Over the span of time that you lamented this, meaning the last 10, 20 years, I'm going to assume you've already built your tribe of people who are like you, right? Most of them who want to spend the money on the hair and want the rose water and want that experience. You were just not charging them enough.
Amen. Everyone's all fussy about it. And they're all just, they're like my children. Like, you're going to do it. So you want me to hold you while you cry or give you a pep talk? Like, how you want to move through this thing?
Can you rub my back?
You want me to rub? I'll rub your back. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, it's not that often that we get to talk with a mother of five, you know, and that my brothers and sisters always tell me that I didn't have the same parents as them because they, you know, they were all the way practiced by the time they got to me.
Right.
So, you know, when they got caught drinking as teenagers, they my parents called the police. When I got caught drinking, I had to mow the yard at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, with my hangover.
A million percent. You know,
and so it is, it's funny that you compare it, because the reality is stuff isn't as big as we make it. It's just not. My question behind all that is, if, you know, if you were talking to an owner, because I told you on the phone that Nick Arojo was my, when I heard that Nick was charging $400 for a haircut back in the 90s, that was what made me go, I was probably charging $50-ish. And I jumped it to like 65 or 70, you know, it was like a $15 hike at that time, which for me was a big deal. It felt like doubling prices. And, but Nick was in my mind. You know, I knew that if he could charge 400, I could charge 65 in the market that I was in at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to be that person for people. And so, yeah. I, you know, I love that we get to have you on this platform to share that. If you were talking to somebody directly, you know, like not Chris and John, and they're asking you, how do I do this? How, you know, what were those steps you did? And like, what extra advice would you give somebody? Or
how do you do it?
Yeah.
The step one, I think, is absolutely do not lament over the amount. Double your price. Don't tinker with it. Don't 30 or 40% with it. Just double your price. And then I think step two is the mind work. So this is the goal. And then how you're going to get here, it's before the email, before what am I going to tell so-and-so, is just sort of recognizing like the issue really is most likely imposter syndrome or something like it that sounds like it. Mm-hmm. And walking through, not justifying yourself, knowing that's the value of what you're bringing. And it just is, accept it. And if once you get to a place where you can accept it, other people, they will. And not to worry about that just yet. Like, I think it's the mindset work.
You mentioned that you had a coach, a business coach.
Is
that how you got through the mindset piece? Is that where that help was necessary?
Totally happy to plug this book. It's called We Should All Be Millionaires. Mm-hmm. The author is Rachel Rogers. And so I hired a coach through her program. That's where the double your price. She has some things that she talks about with mindset work and imposter syndrome on her podcast. But she also recommends these two books. One that I did end up reading, it's called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And it is also was a huge part of walking through this. Just kind of like understanding for my own benefit that this is where the issue was coming from. It was not about money. It's not about money.
It's the mindset
going on in here. Mm-hmm. Right. It's self-worth. And so that's why at the end of the day, when it came time to press send on the email, just sort of like let myself know this was an act of self-love. It was not an act of aggression on any of my clients.
And it's interesting that you, there's two things you just said there. I want to touch base on both of them. One was, you said this was an act of self-love, right? This was for you.
Yep.
But I'm sure it wasn't just about you. What I mean by that is you got five little ones, right?
Yeah.
And
that's
right. The time that you want to spend with them and the quality of life you have for them. Is that accurate?
Yep. So for what's good for me, you know, they say this in relationships all the time, like taking care of your partner is taking care of you. Taking care of my clients is taking care of me. If you want to pay me $85 to cut your hair until I'm literally in a wheelchair wearing yoga pants and crying, we can do that. But I think I'm better than that. So let's just try my way.
And the second thing you said, and I find this interesting, but I don't want to dig into it a little bit. It's not an act of aggression. I'm not doing it to punish you. I'm not doing it because I'm pissed off at you. Right?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it's funny, but it's really not.
It's not. Yeah, it's what
profound.
It feels like.
Yeah,
you it's feel profound. That way. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to take care of me. I know it feels like I'm being mean to you, right. But again, that's really about your shit. I'm just over here trying to handle my shit.
And now here's the funny part. The funny part is, people taking care of yourself comes across as an act of aggression to somebody else.
Well, totally it does. You
know, isn't that twisted?
It actually totally does. I mean, if we're going to talk about communication and personal responsibility, and even if we're talking about a team right now, taking care of the culture can sometimes feel like an act of aggression. Here's an example.
Amen.
Rachel, you're late today, mm-hmm. right? You're late, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're the one who's late.
right.
But I, as the leader, feel afraid to remind you that you're late.
Right.
And That's our right. policy is, and you know, it's like, what do I say to Rachel? She's late for the fourth time. And yep. she knows we have a 3-time-in-a-month policy, and it's, you know, maybe it's terminatable. I don't know what yeah. your culture is.
Right.
But now I'm afraid of you because you're the late one.
Right.
I've caused two problems. One right. was being late, and two is I've created this uncomfortable situation that you now have to deal with.
And I'm too afraid to deal with it.
Yep.
You know, and mm-hmm. that's where we will pin ourselves into a corner until we literally, you know, have the experience where you had. And my first mentor would have called it the holy jumping off place, where
yeah.
you just reached a point where you're like, this is it. I'm doing this. Like I don't care. I'm doing, hey, Rachel, if I'm a salon owner, or if I'm that super busy hairstylist who's wanting to take this leap of faith, I know you're, mm-hmm. you know, interested in being the inspiration for people. How can they touch base with you?
Oh, call me. I don't do social media. I just
do you have you an know. Email address? It's going to be better than putting your cell phone
yeah,
number on the podcast.
Your cell phone number
yeah.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I think you might have it, but it's Rachel Ford, the number 64 at Yahoo.
And awesome. Rachel is RACHAEL, correct?
That's right.
Rachel Ford, yeah. 64.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks so much. This was absolutely a great conversation.
Yeah,
yes.
thanks, Rachel. This
yes,
awesome.
Of course. Thank you. Cussing in cars.
Cussing in cars.
Morning, podcast listeners. Hey, we're so grateful that you're here. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Shop Talk. Listen, season 3 is almost here. It's so close, I can practically taste it. But between now and then, give it another couple weeks, we're continuing to play some of our best of and most requested listens. Today, we're going to listen to Rachel Ford. Rachel Ford is a woman, you know, most like the rest of us, who's trying to figure out that work-life balance. And one of the things that she did was pretty dramatic. She doubled her prices. That's right. She went through her entire service spectrum and doubled all her prices. Of course, you're going to want to hear all about this. So please check in and listen to this podcast. And again, thank you all so much for being here. Season 3, again, is just around the corner. I promise it's going to be great. Meanwhile, you know what to do. Wicked good 5-star reviews. Every 5-star review you write for us pushes us a little bit higher up in the rankings, lets other people find us more easily, and we know you love sharing this podcast. So tune in, listen to this great podcast, let us know what you think.